So last week we did look at our conscience gate, and having talked about it in the week, it was felt that we could explore it a little bit more. So first question after last week, has anybody else had a difficult week apart from me? Sometimes when God starts to highlight something or take us through a process, it's a bit, but that's okay. It just means God is working. So I'm going to go backtrack a little bit to last week. And basically, we have senses that we operate through. We are made up of a physical body. We have a soul on the inside of us, which is our personality. It's the bit of us that makes us. It's the bit of me that makes me me, where my decisions come from, my mind, my will, my emotions. And conscience gate is in that part of me. And then we also have a spirit, which is on the inside of us, which in the very beginning, God's intent was that's where we related to God. Adam and Eve in the beginning walked daily with God. They knew God. They were connected to him in unity. They were intimate. That's where they functioned. They functioned at their spirit level in communion with God. When that went wrong with Adam and Eve and they chose to go their own way, the spirit part of humanity was disconnected from God. And since that time, we have functioned as physical beings. So we function through our physical body, being controlled and led by our soul and our soul needs. So until we become Christians, our spirit, although on the inside of us, does not function in relationship with God. So that's that part of it. So we are born into this realm. We are born into the physical realm, into our natural families that we all have. No matter what our natural family looked like, if we lived with them, if we didn't, we were all born into a natural family. And that's where our life foundations are set. Ooh. That's where we learn how to be. That's where everything comes from. So my upbringing sets my foundations to life. It's where my belief system, my value system, how I see other people treated, how I learn to treat other people. Everything that I learn, how I learn to speak, behave, my attitudes, I learn that from my physical upbringing in the very first instance. And whatever that looks like, it is normal for me. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's normal. It forms who I am. And my foundations for life get set at that place. And in that sense, what I consider to be okay or not okay is decided at that point in time. So my conscience is shaped very early from my environment that goes on around me. Now, this will vary from family to family, as I'm sure you know. Some things that actually were okay in my family upbringing may not have been okay in yours. Some things in yours may not have been okay in mine. It will be very, very different. So it might be okay in some families to lie, to cheat, to steal, to be a bully, to be violent, to intimidate people, to abuse, to take drugs. That may be okay in some families. If that was, as I was growing up, that will form and shape my belief system and my conscience will be tied into that. If it wasn't, then it's unlikely from an early age that that's going to be okay for me. So varying degrees of right and wrong that we learn will shape us as we move forward. So we don't have a lot of choice in our early life about how we are, how we are brought up. It occurs and we just go with it. We looked last week at the fact that we are all created with needs, and we need to go back very briefly to see that in the beginning, God's intent with Adam and Eve, that all of their needs were found in God. They were met in God. So everything about acceptance, being accepted, affirmation, being loved, belonging, having a purpose, and having security, in the beginning, Adam and Eve had that in God, and that's the way that it should have outworked. That was God's intent. Now, because we are born disconnected from God and our spirit not functioning, we still have these needs, but we can no longer have them met in God until we know God. But we still have these needs, and we need to find these needs. They need to be met somehow. I need acceptance, affirmation, to be loved, to belong, to have a purpose and feel secure. So if I'm not going to have that met in God, the next best thing is, well, my family might demonstrate what that looks like in a positive way. Yes? Uh-oh. Maybe not. That, for most of us, is where our problems start, because back in the beginning in our natural family, things get a bit messed up. Because I've got children, and no doubt my messing up has caused them to be messed up. My parents being messed up caused me to be messed up. And so it goes on back down through our family lines. We're not as God intended us to be. Life sometimes sucks, and we get damaged because of that. So in the beginning, these needs, I need to get met somehow. How will I get them met? And that's the thing for all of us, is what do we do to meet our needs? What do we do to make ourselves feel accepted, to feel better? I need to function, so do I look for people to meet my needs? Do I find it in money, position? How do I feel good about myself? Because I have a need I have to get met. Or I can't get my need met, so I'll block it out. What do I do in order to block my need out? These are the things that have to shape us as we get a little bit older. Now, until we become Christians, we operate completely independently from God. We can't know God until we invite Jesus into our life and establish a relationship with God as Father. So we operate completely independently. We can know about God. We can read, we can learn, we can know about him, but we can't know him on the inside of us until we become Christians. So everything I do is going to be focused on myself, self-centered. I need to meet my need. My choices are going to involve me looking after me. And part of the question is, what do I do and what becomes okay for me to meet that need? Now, as I get older, I become responsible for my own standards in my life. Up to a certain point, other people influence how I am, what's acceptable and what's not. But as I get older, I become responsible and I set my own standards for my life, my own rules, my own guidelines as what's right, what's wrong, what's okay, what's not okay. And that's where my conscience starts to function for myself. And the definition of a conscience is a person's moral sense of right and wrong, which acts as a guide to one's behaviour. Now, we all have a conscience because God's given it to us. God's put it on the inside of us. The reason God's did that is to bless us, to bring us into freedom, to live well, to be in abundance. It's all the positives. But often, for us, life complicates things. But I am responsible for saying, this is okay, this is how I want to live, this is not okay, that's not how I will live. So I set my own standards for life, for my life. Now, when I don't follow my standards, when I ignore my conscience, because we all know at certain points we have a conscience, that little voice on the inside of us that says, do it, don't do it, this is okay, this is not okay. When I don't follow my standards, I violate my own rules, the things that I have set for myself, which can result in condemnation, guilt, shame, regret, maybe disgust, disgrace, fear of being exposed, fear of being found out, disappointment in myself, even self-hatred. So if you take it at the very beginning, as we journey and we make choices, because choice is another gate that we have in our soul. We all have choices every time, and we need to learn to make right choices. And our conscience is often what guides us. Is this choice good or is it not good? So the first time when we do something that steps outside of our boundaries for our life, we may feel a bit bad, but that's okay. You can probably recover from that one. But when we ongoingly choose to ignore the standards that we have set for ourselves, it doesn't take too long before those standards are no longer relevant. And we go further down. And the things that we thought at one point, I would never do that, suddenly become patterns and part of our life that we embrace and become part of who we are. Now, how do we deal with that? outside of God, what do we do? How do we do with it? Well, we have to live with the decisions that we make. We have to bear the consequences of the things that we make. It becomes really hard. We can either try really hard not to do it again, or, as I say, we start embracing things and they become part of us, but we feel really guilty. And guilt is something that we all suffer from in some degree. And really, that's what I kind of want to talk about today, in a sense of like how we feel about ourselves in guilt. There's a quote that says, "The most easily deteriorated of all the moral qualities is the quality called conscience." Because we know when we step outside of what we believe to be okay, it soon starts to fade. But unfortunately, sometimes because of where we've come from, because of the families we were born into, or the things that we've seen or witnessed, or behaviours, attitudes, patterns of life, we can be really, really wounded. And we can be really, really damaged. We can become rebellious because it's just not fair. And we can become stubborn. And those things can also hinder us making really good decisions in our life. In all honesty, sometimes our conscience gets pricked and we're like, that wasn't good, I won't do that again. And we can change and we cannot do certain things again, but we try and be better. Some things we just can't. No matter what happens, we can't. We just make wrong choices, wrong decisions, and we ignore how that makes us feel. But we continually then feel bad about ourselves and guilty and ashamed. The truth in all of this is we were never meant to operate independently from God. Anything that I try and do in my life, I'm only trying to do. And I'm quite restricted in my capability. So I can try and change and I can strive and I can do my best and I can really will myself to be different. But all I can change is the outside stuff. I can try and change the way I speak. I can try and change my attitudes, my behaviours. But actually, I can't change myself on the inside. And in order for us to be transformed, God comes and transforms us on the inside, and that's the bit that makes the difference for us. So when we become Christians, we enter into this relationship with God by inviting Jesus into our lives. We accept that we can't do it ourselves. No matter how hard I try to be good, no matter how I strive to be different, no matter how much I try, I can't make myself acceptable to God because of sin. Jesus took my place. He took my debt, the bit that I could never repay when he died on the cross, so that I could be forgiven and I can then have a relationship with God. When God comes to live on the inside of you, when we accept that Jesus did that for us, our spirit, which was disconnected and dead, becomes alive, because God comes and lives on the inside of us and opens up a whole new world for us into the spiritual realm. So God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus come and live on the inside. Now I have the capacity to change with God changing me. Not me trying, just the life of God on the inside of me, healing me, setting me free, purifying me, cleansing me. If I cooperate, there's a whole new world that I enter into that God wipes my slate clean. He wipes my sin clean and he gives me a completely fresh start. So I now, although I had a spirit which didn't function, body, soul and spirit that didn't work, now my spirit is alive to God and I become a spiritual being, a spiritual, supernatural person with God living on the inside of me. And that's what makes the whole difference to my entire life, is that God now is my source, my life. Everything becomes new. I live in my body, my soul still operates, but now I need to learn to be led by my spirit, by God, and that forms a bit of a because up till this point, my soul, my me, has been in charge and in control, and now I need to surrender that and let God be in control in order for my new life to really take effect, because the Bible says we become new creations. We become new people. We transfer from one kingdom, which is ruled by the enemy, into God's kingdom. We become God's child, and we get all of God's resources. Now, unfortunately, we don't press a button, and all of everything is just wiped clean. We do get a fresh start, but we have to learn how to live according to God's ways rather than our old ways. The good news is my past no longer needs to control me. My past has been dealt with on the cross. And if I cooperate with God, he will deal with it so that I can be free and I can move forward. Everything that we are in God takes on a new perspective. So I no longer need to be controlled by my soul. I still can be if I want to be. And this is where we have this thing that goes on. God wants to be in charge. He wants to flow through me to completely transform my life. My source of life in God is where I now need to live from. Now, there may be reasons why I behave and have behaved like I do. There usually are good reasons how we get ourselves in the state that we do. But if my conscience isn't really functioning, it's not going to bother me too much, and I'm going to continue. But areas of wounds, of damage, of trauma, self-protection, and the defense mechanisms that I've built up on my life actually form prisons. Because deep down, if I have broken my own standards for life that I once set, I will be feeling guilty, condemned, and ashamed. The good news is we don't need to continue feeling like that. And God can cleanse us so that we start to live his way and be obedient to what he says. Because we all have done things which have been a means to an end. I need this. I need to do that. That's how it is. Now, the gateways in our soul are really important for us. And I haven't put the pictures up today because I actually think they're quite confusing. But needless to say, they're like senses. Like our physical senses are quite easy to understand, aren't they? I see, I hear, I taste, I smell, and I touch. We understand those senses because we've always been brought up to know that they're there. Our soul senses aren't quite so easy to understand, but they are just as real because they become polluted and distorted on the inside, and God just wants to cleanse them so that his life can flow through them. So last week, at the end of what I said, we prayed and we asked God to... Well, we gave God permission to come and cleanse our conscience and start to move and to show us areas if our conscience wasn't functioning properly. So don't be surprised if you now enter a process where God starts to really move in your life and show you things that he wants to heal you from and set you free from. This is not about having a bad conscience to make you feel guilty and condemned. It's about acknowledging those areas where we feel like that deep down so that we can be set free, healed and restored, and we don't need to be like that anymore. So don't be surprised if things start to come up and God shows you. Don't take it as condemnation. Condemnation is from the enemy to make you feel so bad to lead you to death. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit, from God, to make you free and to lead you on into life. So life's events and our choices, they sometimes lead us into really dark places. We can have things that are really locked away, maybe that we've done, that nobody else knows about, but deep inside, it's affected our conscience. We have an enemy that wants to rob, kill, and destroy, and he doesn't care how he does it. Guilt, condemnation, and shame are really good ways that he gets us. But Jesus, he came to give us life in abundance and lead us in this process of change. Outside of God, we're on a road of death and destruction. We fall short. There's nothing we can do to redeem ourselves because that's what Jesus did. We have the Holy Spirit now on the inside of us to guide us, to show us God's ways, to lead us into all truth, to give us that fresh start. God is our daddy. We become children of God. He's our daddy. And he wants to care for us. He gives us access to him in heaven and all of his resources, all of his blessings, everything. We can actually go into heaven and meet with our daddy. If we have really guilty consciences hidden away somewhere, we're not likely to want to go and sit on our daddy's knee or to look into his eyes because we feel unworthy. We feel we have no right to do that. What God wants for us is to give us these things. Knowing God's acceptance is incredible. Knowing that God loves you and accepts you, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are or where you've come from, God accepts you. He affirms you. He tells you how precious you are. He just loves you unconditionally. What an incredible thing. I don't suppose any of us really, really, really know in a natural sense what unconditional love is like. But God loves us unconditionally. He loved us when we were at our worst. And that's when he sent Jesus. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And that's what he wants us to know, that we belong to him. No matter what, he wants you to know that you belong to him. That he has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for you, which is not what you've had up to this point in time. He just loves you. And that you are secure and safe with him. Now that's incredible, isn't it? That's for all of us. That's what God's heart is for us. But when we have these things on the inside, they restrict us and stop us from believing that because we feel unworthy, we feel unlovable, we feel guilty and ashamed. How could God love me? Just because he does. How could God love me? Goodness me, he does. He really does, because that's who he is. It's not about me. It's about who God is. And the enemy wants to stop us at all costs coming into that relationship with God. Don't let him rob you anymore. Jesus is our example. He lives on the inside of us. We can step in. We all know when we have our encounters, we step in. And often we engage with Jesus in the heavenly realms. And quite often, he wants us to look in his eyes where there is that expression of love. Let's not be robbed anymore by our past and by our guilt and our consciences that we can't do that. Let's get God in there to cleanse us. This is a really simple example. The Bible says, fear not. The Bible says, cast your cares upon God. The Bible says, don't worry. Trust in me. Now, you might think, well, what's that got to do with your conscience? Actually, anything that we think or say or do that doesn't line up with God, God will prompt us to make right choices in. So if that's relevant for you and you struggle with fear, it may have been a part of your life for always, but it's not God's heart for you. You can explain things away. Well, my old family are fearful, you know. I've always been afraid of something. We don't even realize sometimes the things that bind us up on the inside. Your conscious gateway might not even register fear. It could be ingrained and in part of you, but wouldn't it be wonderful to be fear-free? If you struggle from fear or anxiety or worry, wouldn't it be wonderful not to be like that? Part of this process can be by inviting Jesus into our conscience gate. You see, anything that we do that doesn't line up with God's word and God's heart for us ultimately is sin. We don't like to say that often because we think, well, I can't help it. It's not my fault. I've always been like this. Actually, that's the process of transformation that we're in. So if we are actually very fearful, and I have areas in my life which, you know, I'm not a fearful person generally, but for so many years I've had the fear of driving, which has driven everybody bonkers, but I've explained it away. It hasn't been this, you know. Actually, it's fear. And there have been many times when I've gone to drive and in my head God has said, like, you know, I'm with you, you know, it'll be all right. And I'll be like, nope, not doing it. Actually, that's just my conscience. God saying, you can do this, and me choosing to go into fear. We have to get real with this and look at the things underneath in our lives that have been a bondage to us. I'm getting better, by the way. I do drive a little bit this much now. It's not just really overt things. Sometimes it's really easy for us to see the out there things. Well, I don't tell lies. My conscience is clear. It's not about that. It's about the things that rob us and keep us from God's best. So if fear is an area for us, then we can invite God into that. There obviously will be a root of fear somewhere. Why has fear got a hold of you? It could be way in your past generations. It could be something that's happened to you as a trauma. But by inviting God into it and allowing God to come and show us these things, he can heal us. We may need to do forgiveness. We may need to repent. We may need to do some work ourselves. But at the end of the day, God's heart for us is to be free. So that next time, if a thought of fear comes in your head, you can think, I'm not going there. Then you're free. Or you can think, yeah, actually, I'm really fearful. And you've bought into it again. But that's where God can cleanse our gateways. We all have different vulnerable areas. We're all unique. We're all different. We've all been through different things. So what I'm vulnerable may not be relevant to you. So just be real with God and ask him where your vulnerable areas are. It could be lying. It could be fear. It could be sexual sin. It could be anger. It could be judging people. It could be criticism. It could be self-righteousness. Who knows? You know, or God knows. If you let him cooperate with you, he can set you free. We want to be more like Jesus, don't we? We want to be everything he's created us to be. We want to be the demonstration of Jesus to the people around us. So let's let God into these deep areas so that he can cleanse us. We have lived by our own standards for a very long time, and our conscience has been set accordingly. But my bar, no matter how righteous I think I am, will never match God's. And it's time to let God in and show me his ways. Human conscience is given by God, and we've all got a conscience, but it's not as God intended it to be. So let's start functioning. It's frozen. Should I just press escape and try again? My verse. So I'm never going to make it on my own. It's only Jesus that can cleanse my conscience, can cleanse my heart. And Hebrews 9:14 says, then how much more powerful is the blood of the anointed one who through the eternal spirit offered himself as a spotless sacrifice to God, purifying your conscience from the dead things of the world to the service of the living God. That's what Jesus did. The blood of Jesus is what purifies us and cleanses us. So as a Christian, my standards no longer count. It has to be now, God, what are you saying? What are you doing in my life? Now, I never take myself too seriously. I'm always laughing at myself, and I don't mind anyone else that laughs at me either. And I do say and do stupid things. But God really challenged me one day, because I would stand here often and say, I'm so stupid. Or I'm this, or I'm that. No, I never meant it in a really defacing way, but I would just say it. And God challenged me one day and said, do you not realize the power of words? And I'm like, of course I do. But what do you say over yourself? What are you saying over yourself? And I had this bit of an argument with God, because I said, well, I'm only joking. And it's God, do you know not know the power of words? And we have to be really careful. And it's another area. How do you speak? How do you speak about yourself? Do things just flow out? Because after this, I was challenged and I was convicted and I changed the way that I spoke about myself. Is that an area that you need to look at? Now, dealing with our conscience gateway may take time because of things that we have done. We might have to face consequences, because when Jesus cleanses us, when God forgives us, he wipes our slate clean. We come into a relationship with him. It doesn't wipe out the consequences here of the things that we may have done. And part of clearing through our gateways and purifying our conscience, there may be some things that we need to face that we would rather not. We may have to own up or admit to some things. We may have to seek forgiveness from people. It's something that for a lot of us would put us off going there in the first place, because I might have to deal with some stuff. But actually, deep down, if there is stuff that you don't want to face that you have done, you are living in prison. You are living in shame, guilt, and condemnation. If you need to seek forgiveness for the past, then do it, because you will be free. Once God has brought light and shined light into a situation, we need to act, because that's our way of getting free. If we don't, we end up in prisons again. and we end up ashamed and we don't want to face God. Now, I've got a little story here, which is, it's not great, but God's really prompted me to tell it. It goes back a very long time before I ever moved up here. And it was a big thing for me to move up here. And I just wanted to make sure that everything was right. I was really quite worried about it. I'd had some stuff in my past that wasn't too great that I'd sorted out with God. But I used to have this dream. And the dream was I would open a newspaper and I would be in it. Like the Sun article on church leader, did you know? Which was a bit bizarre. But I'd had this, and so I'd said to God, God, if I'm going to move, if I'm going to come up here, and Mike and I are going to set foundations for a church, I need nothing unturned. I need my life to be no secrets, nothing hidden. I just want everything out in the open. People need to know what they're getting. This is me. I am what I am. I've done what I've done, and I don't want any nasty surprises later on coming back to bite me. Is there anything, are there any loose ends that I need to sort out before we move? And God said, yes, there is. I was like, oh, no. Anyway, many years before that, when I was 13, 14, 15, I'd worked in a shop. And the owner of the shop's son was one of my best friends. And so I worked in this shop, and it was a big shop, a very big shop, for the town that I lived in. And me and another girl worked in a particular area of this shop that we thought we worked harder than anyone else. But we only got paid the same as everyone else, but we thought we did more work. And in our warped kind of little minds, we decided that 10% discount was what you got in this shop was not enough for what we did. So me and this other girl, I probably was 14 or 15 at this point in time, we had a little agreement that whatever we bought, we would get 20% discount rather than the 10. Now, I can tell you that the first few times I did this, I felt really bad. Really guilty. I was going to be found out, you know. I came from a good family, you know, and I was a Christian. But anyway, we gave ourselves more discount than we should be. By the time I left the shop at 16, I was probably getting 90% discount and paying for maybe 10. It no longer bothered me because we had justified that what we were doing was okay. That was all many, you know, many years before I was 15, quite a few years ago. During my early 20s, I walked right away from God, had no relationship with God. God brought me back, and there was a lot of dealing with stuff in my life, a lot of repentance, a lot of confession to God, a lot of everything that went on. And I thought that I had dealt with all the stuff in my past. Well, God showed me that this was not done. Because deep inside, I felt really fearful that I was going to be found out, fear that I was going to be exposed. And actually, I still felt really guilty, even though I'd taken it to God and God had forgiven me. So I'm now having this dialogue with God. The person that I worked for had died. He was no longer a manager of the shop, but the son that was one of my best friends now ran the shop. Can you imagine? I'm now 33. And God said, you need to go and sort this out. So I was arguing, what's the point? What's the But I knew, you know, when your heart goes and you can't think of anything else and you know it's not because you feel bad, you know it's because God's telling you to do something. And I knew that I needed to do this. So I needed to confess. I was horrified, mortified, any word that you want to think along those lines. So one day I just plucked up courage. No one knew because no one knew this. No one knew this. Only me and this other girl who I'd lost contact with many years before. So I went into the shop and I asked to see him, and he was there. I'm like, I'm really sorry, but can I have a talk to you? I need to tell you something. And so I had to tell him that all those years ago, this is what I'd done. I said, I'm so sorry. I just need to tell you, God's on my case. I said, what's even worse is that you knew I was a Christian at the time and I still did all of this. I just need to ask your forgiveness. I don't care what you do. If you want to call the police, that's fine. If you want me to pay back money, I don't know how much it was, but it's fine. And I'm just going, getting all this out, like shaking so much. And at the end, he just looked at me and he smiled. And he said, that must have taken a lot for you to come and to do that. I'm like, mm-hmm. But God told me I needed to do this. I need to set it right with you because I wronged you all those years ago. And he said, don't worry about it. I think what you've just sat through is more than enough to compensate anything that may have happened in the past. And that was the end of it. I cannot tell you what a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. Just clearing it out, just getting that out in the open because of how I felt about that on the inside. After I'd left that place, I never did anything like that again. That was it. That was the incident of that. And never did it again. But I carried it around on the inside of me. And I still felt guilty and ashamed and condemned about it. Now, on there, if it worked, there's a really lovely picture of a woman up putting her hands up saying free. And that's how I felt that weight of freedom. God had forgiven me because I'd already sorted it. But it wasn't sorted for me. And that's really what I want to say right now, is there may be some things that we need to set in place for ourselves to walk free. So how do we move forward? Be real with yourself. Ask God, is there anything that I need to do to be free on the inside? Because if you're aware of sin issues and you don't deal with them, they're still going to keep you in prison. You confess it to God, but actually you can confess it to others. We can confess it to each other. There's verses here, which I'm fine now, about the power of just confessing it and standing with each other and seeing each other released and free. If you've wronged someone, you may need to go and sort it out. You may need to write a letter. You may need to do something. You may not. I'm not saying that you do, but you might do. Just be open for God to show you what you need to do, but don't put it off. If God shows you something, don't put it off. Go with it, because he will empower you and enable you to do whatever you need to do. And if it gets you free of feelings of guilt, a guilty conscience is not a nice thing to have hanging over you. It will lead to depression, anxiety. I cannot tell you how much fear I lived in, fear of being found out. It can affect everything, but it will affect our relationship with God if we don't deal with these things once he's shown us. If he doesn't show you, that's fine. But if he starts to show you anything, I really encourage you to deal with it. And we can learn then, as our conscience becomes refined and purified, we can learn a different way. We can learn to respond to God's voice before we get ourselves in these messes. You know, we talked last week about the illustration of Tom and Jerry, where there's a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder. And sometimes it feels like that. You're in an absolute battle and you don't know which way to go. Bottom line is, we can learn to obey that voice of God. We can learn to obey the Holy Spirit without going down the other road. But it is a process. But it's a process that God has committed himself to seeing us through for our freedom and our healing. Might seem like hard work. It's hard work if we're doing it in our own strength. It can be emotional, but we're not talking about striving or thriving. We're talking about God empowering us and enabling us to do it. Jesus took our place. He paid the consequences of our sin, but we sometimes need to face the consequences of our actions. So spend time with Jesus. Invite him into these areas. I spoke last week about the bracelet that used to be around, what would Jesus do, and people used to have it on them. Just in times, if you're not sure what God's saying, is it okay for me to do this? That's not a bad question to ask. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus do this? If so, great. If not, we need to learn how to be sensitive to the voice of God, which operates through our conscience. If we get to know God, he'll change us. As we pursue him, he will change us and purify us. We can say, search me, O God. There's a scripture that's very nicely set up there right now. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me into the everlasting ways, or something like that. But it's basically saying, God, have your way. Shine your light. Refine me. Purify me. I don't want to live in my past anymore. I want to live for you. I want to be free. We're in a process. And the most important thing to know is there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. If God highlights things in our lives that have not been great from the past, it's not to condemn us. There is no condemnation. It is to set us free. So where we have our conscience has maybe been dulled or seared through our past, through decisions and choices that we've made, we may need to be purified and refined. But the blood of Jesus does that. He washes us clean. We have access to the river of life when we step into heaven. We can jump in that river and we can be cleansed. And those things, that life can then flow through us. The good news is there is hope for change in every situation. There is nothing that you have done or been through that God cannot change and restore to you. The good news is you are not products of your past. You are products of what Jesus did on the cross. And your freedom is your inheritance. How does God want me to live? He wants me to live life that is holy, that is set apart for him, that I demonstrate his character. Last week I said that there's a really weird saying that says, let your conscience be your guide, which is great if you've got a good conscience, not so great if we haven't. But actually, I was thinking about it this week, and it's like, now we can say, God, let your conscience be my guide. I was like, oh, that's good. I don't need to live by my conscience anymore. I've got God in me. He can guide me. He can be my conscience. And then I will walk his ways. God's word, we can get in there. We can find out what's okay, what's not okay. Engaging with Jesus, he will show us. The Holy Spirit will teach us. That's his role, his function. He's a teacher, our guide. I've got really nice verses up here, and I don't know what they are. It's at the end. I finished now, so it's, thank you. It's just I don't know what the verses are. Jesus did what he saw the Father do. If we can tune in to see what the Father does, it will transform our lives. So Jesus was moved with compassion. We want our consciences so in tune that actually we're moved by what we see the Father doing. He was moved with compassion. He loved. He distributed forgiveness and healing. He spoke justice and righteousness into situations. Isn't that what we want to be moved by when we hear the Father's voice, that we want to be so in tune that we can walk that way? The fruit of the Spirit is really... nobody's got a voice, have they? It's really lovely in the voice. Anyway, the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we need to operate in, which what can flow from us, is love, grace, love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. They are really amazing characteristics, which actually, if we take them on board, they will fuel us, they will refine us, and we can live out of these gods. We can have God's standards inscribed on our hearts. It says that Jesus inscribes on our hearts. We don't have to learn it out there anymore. It's in us, and we can live from what God's put on the inside. We can live out of that, which is just amazing. And I'm going to finish there. Gray wants to do an encounter, so I don't know what it is. I'm hoping it's going to tie in. Will it tie in? Just to say, you're in this process with God, just go with it, because God has such incredible things for us. And our past, where we've been, the decisions that we've made, if we let them, will completely rob us of our future. But Jesus came so that we have a future in God.
I really felt God the other day when we stepped in, and I really felt God to do the activation this morning and stepping into encounter with him. So if we got the music filled, and we'll do as we normally do. We'll relax, close our eyes. Picture the door. As we know the handle's on our side, and we open up that door, step through the door, and we step into a garden. And in that garden, there's a person, and he's actually pushing a wheelbarrow. And you begin to realize that it's Jesus. And in that wheelbarrow, you begin to realize and sense that all the things that you've put or been putting and your past experiences with God, they're in the wheelbarrow. And he steps onto this path and he says, come follow me. As you wander down through this path, as you pass waterfalls, as you pass flowers, as you pass trees, as you see the fruit on the trees, and you see some falling on the floor, and a little bit farther down the path, you approach this gateway and you see a gate. And on that gate, it's got written conscience. Right now, that just begin to see how that conscience gate looks to you. What it looks like. What's there in that gate. What needs to be dealt with. What needs to be shared. The things that in the past that have hindered, that have been blockages, that have been burdens, that Jesus is going to begin to show you. And as he begins to show you, you can again begin to take those things and put them into the wheelbarrow with the other stuff that you've already given him. And as you step through that gate, you know that Jesus is with you and he will help you in the restoration of your conscience. That he will bring healing and wholeness. He'll bring clarity. I really sense this morning that God's going to, for many of us, bring clarity. It's okay too. Maybe God has given you a completely different experience this morning. He's taken you somewhere else. That's okay too. Whatever God wants to reveal to you, show you, minister to you, heal you. That with him, your conscience can be alive. Free.
I've just put a picture up on the screen, which often is how we can feel, that we can feel dirty and filthy and wretched and ashamed and all of those things. But actually, Jesus gives us new robes. He clothes us in his righteousness. That's why we can stand before God, because God sees us through Jesus, through what Jesus did. So if you need some help today, if you're like the man who feels filthy and dirty and ashamed and condemned, and you can't actually step into that yourself and put on those robes of righteousness, we would love to stand with you. We would love to pray with you. If there's anything that God has shown you today, please don't take it away with you, but allow God to move, to bring cleansing and healing to you on the inside, because robes of righteousness is how God sees you and how he wants us to feel. It's like this: free, unashamed, able to look into the eyes of Jesus with no condemnation. So I leave that with you. We're here if you need us. If you don't know Jesus, we'd also love to pray with you. It's an amazing journey to be able to cast off your guilt and all those things and enter a new life with him.